Stubfod goes hard.
What you're about to see may surprise and shock you, but I guarantee you it will change your life.
Something's coming.
This thing we call the Dubfod. My name is Mike. I am joined, of course, by my good friend, Mr. Drunkard STL.
Hey.
And Travis Hulse, everyone. The king of pranks, Travis Hulse. Hello, Travis.
Good evening.
Guys, our guest tonight is a world-renowned producer and director of over 300 films, and now an author. His new book is Confessions of a Puppet Master, a Hollywood memoir of ghouls, guts, and gonzo filmmaking. And it's available today wherever books are sold. Guys, Charles Band is on the program. Charles, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. Gonzo. I don't know what gonzo even means. It just sounds good.
It's one of those words that I think everybody knows what it is without actually knowing what it is.
Yeah, it's kind of like guerrilla filmmaking, which is not what we do, but it's it's fun, and I'm glad the book's finally out. I was happy. We had some downtime last year because of that damn COVID. So
is that Harper? What got you to write the book? Is you couldn't do anything else?
You know, we still were busy. I mean, I still made movies like Corona Zombies last year, so we didn't, you know, we didn't really stop. But it was slower, and everyone went home, and you know, all that stuff, and then there was interest from HarperCollins in my life and my crazy journey. And they put me in touch with a literary agent who said, yeah, you can make a deal. If you got the time, I'll get you someone who can, you know, be your biographer, because I can tell my stories, but I'm not really a writer. And they hooked me up with a guy named Adam Felber, who's fantastic, real clever, great writer, head writer on the Bill Maher Show for 11 years. So we spent about 5 months of Saturday mornings just kind of, he had me go back into the distant past, which I never think about, and presto bingo, here's the book.
Do you feel like now that you've written the book, nothing else can really happen to you? Do you feel like
hang up the cape?
No, just the opposite. That's the weird part. You know, we had a super busy year this year. We have 18 features planned to shoot next year. We've never been busier, you know, feeding the streaming site and the merch and all the stuff we do. So it's sort of like my memoirs so far, you know, but
right.
It was time to put it together. And I had this, I had some time to put into this because it's a lot of history. I mean, I've been so forward thinking. I never think about pretty much what's before me or what's behind me. And, you know, I've been doing this for a lot of years, and the movie we're about to shoot is number 354. So probably a good idea to stop and kind of go, okay, well, here's some crazy stuff that happened, you know.
Since you are so forward thinking, was seeing it all come to kind of fruition, did it really get you to stop and think and be like, look at the life I've lived so far? I mean, yeah. Because some of the stories in this book are amazing. I just finished the copy we were sent this evening. And I mean, some of your journey from studio to creating another studio to creating, you know, it's phenomenal. Yeah, it still doesn't make you think back.
Not really. Ups and bad downs, man. I went to the slammer, you know, it all happened. So it's the journey of an entrepreneur. I mean, I think this is not a treatise of going into technical stuff and how I made all these movies. It's more just about, you know, just hanging on, you know, and you know, the marriage of anything creative with finance, business, commerce is a tricky one. And especially if you're going to try to, you know, make a living doing it. So yeah, there are crazy stories. I bought a castle. I had that for years. I built the studio. You know, I was there day one of the home video deal. I was the second direct-to-video company back in 1977 on Earth. early on in streaming, making all these weird movies. I mean, it's a trip. So yeah, thinking about it was kind of fun in a way, but you know, I'm still busy making movies and haven't really slowed down. I mean, slowing down would be a bummer, you know, it'd be like, I wouldn't know what to do. I think I would grow old really quickly.
Well, and that's the thing, looking at it too, is talking about not slowing down is all of the hurdles that you kind of jumped, you just kept moving forward. I mean, from, you know, you say guerrilla businesses that you put together, you know, starting with buying, you know, decades worth of newspapers and creating your own, you know, memento books. And like you said, moving on to the tape dubs and moving on to, you know, creating the empty video boxes and sending them off to distributors. I mean,
I was in the box business, man. It was the best year ever because, okay, so people, you know, today, internet, everyone has easy access. But back in the Stone Age days of home video, like in the late 70s, you know, it was, most people didn't even understand it. You know, it took a while before rental video and stores were popping up all over the place. So yeah, I had this, I mean, it's, I can't start reciting all these chapters too long, but I had this business where instead of doing the duplication, which was costly and, you know, hundreds of slaves, Betamax, VHS, I found three distributors, one in the Midwest, one in New York, and one on the West Coast. And I said, look, I'll send you the master of this movie I license. And I licensed dozens of movies, Boogeyman, you know, I Spit on Your Grave, Halloween, Flesh Gordon, Groove Tube, all these movies from the late 70s, early 80s. And I'll send you the boxes, you know, the VHS boxes these movies went into, and you give me $10 a box. So instead of them spending $30 to purchase back in the day at a wholesale price a movie and then sell it for more, I said, you're getting the deal, but you have to do the duplication, which wasn't cheap at the time. And I'm in the box business. So if you solicit this, if you want 5,000 copies of I Spit on Your Grave, I'm going to send you 5,000 empty boxes in the master, and you're going to send me $50,000. And for a brief period of time, that worked amazingly well. So yeah, I said to people, I had one employee, and briefly I was in the box business. Then I made a bunch of money and immediately lost most of it in a movie. You know, that's what you do.
Well, that's the thing. You're talking about forward thinking, and the box business was huge because if, you know, some of our younger listeners, if you were not alive during the heyday of the VHS rental, you do not understand how important those VHS boxes were to people who were browsing the aisles and looking for something to take home, because the more lurid, or not even lurid, the more eye-catching those VHS boxes were, you're much more likely to bring that home.
And the cool thing about it was Wizard Video was the label that did most of the box business during my trajectory of making all these movies. And the Wizard Video kind of invented the big box. They were huge. You know, they were, until the video store shelves got filled up and they didn't want them anymore, they were three times the size of a VHS box. You had a lot of window space to have your lurid art, you know, some chicken trouble and a monster and whatever the deal was. So yeah, for a brief period of time, it was pretty cool.
If you stumbled upon a pornographic VHS, even as late as the early 90s, those VHSs still had those giant boxes.
Yeah, the bigger the box, the bigger the boobs, man. Yeah,
absolutely. Are you talking about like the Disney box, like the plastic one with the...
Also Disney, yeah, Disney. The you know, the porno guys were always first with everything, so they actually started it. I was sort of right behind with Wizard Video. And then, yeah, Disney also had those big boxes. That all worked for a little while.
The porn guys started everything. It's like that was the winners in the home video cassette wars between VHS and Betamax. They were the revolutionaries behind who is going to be the take-home discs. Was it going to be Blu-ray or HD DVD?
Yeah, that is true.
Travis, I it's rare to find somebody like Charles who, I mean, like I think we know a lot of idea guys and creative guys, and we know some business guys, but like to find somebody like with the sense to do both, I feel like that's pretty rare to like be able to put it together and say like, well, screw it, I'll sell the boxes.
I've got 1,000 chapters like that. Most of them are in the book. That's why I think the book is a good read for any entrepreneur, anybody who wants to somehow turn, you know, their creative, whatever they're doing, if they want to make movies or music or videos, art, sculpture, painting, you know, how do you marry all that into commerce and how do you make a living? And that's what the book's mainly about, because I just went for it. You know, at a really young age, I almost lost my life twice in third world hospitals. That's not a fun part of the story. But, you know, once you kind of get that close to, you know, like dying, you know, how wrong can any of this go? Okay, so you try something, it doesn't work. Maybe you lose money and then you have to start up again, or you got to work somewhere. And, you know, you can't be really afraid of failure. And you just have to keep rolling, because that's what I've done since, you know, for a long time.
Charles, I had an idea. See, I think you said that you have now made 354. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Well, I've made some movies that aren't in my official count because I made them for other people.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know that. So but no, the actual count began when I made my first movie. I put a number on every movie. So the movie I'm about to shoot in 2 weeks in Cleveland, Ohio, we have kind of a home base there, is number 354.
Well, what I was thinking was, if you wanted to, is there any way that anyone can make a movie now that you couldn't claim they're ripping you off? I mean, like, you've done everything at this point, right? So, I mean, like, anyone makes any sci-fi horror movie, you could just sue them, right? Because they stole your idea.
You know, first, there have been really good moments where I've had people approach me, including some lawyers, saying, hey, we'll do this on a contingency. You got a big lawsuit, do this, do that. I just, you know, life is just too short. You know, it's a real negative energy. But I'll tell you a good one. So I made a movie in the mid to late 80s called Troll, okay? And Troll it was Julie Louis-Dreyfus's first film. She had a small part. Noah Hathaway just made a movie called Never Ending Story. Poor Sonny Bono was in the movie. June Lockhart. Anyway, it had a very interesting cast. And it was a story of this kid who was kind of shunned by his parents. He was probably 13 or 14, kind of lived in his little room under the stairs and got involved in good and evil. And the whole apartment turned into sort of a gateway to a magic world. And if that doesn't sound familiar, my character's name was Harry Potter. This was years before old JK did her thing. So I mean,
oh, come on, Charles. Think of how many movies you could make with that check.
Well, but I thought, you know, that's going to be years and hassles and lawyers and courts. I just didn't do it. But I always had good faith that one day I get a letter or a call from JK and she said, hey, Charles, just out of the goodness of my heart, you inspired me. So here's a check for $1 million
million. That's nothing.
Nothing for JK.
So I was reading in your book, Charles, you mentioned, Marvel Comics quite a bit. I'm actually recording here from my comic book room. And you were talking about how important those stories were for you growing up. And
yeah.
It's actually quite amazing that you got to spend some time with Jack Kirby and Stan Lee as well.
Yeah,
I like that, you know, because I did not obviously know of your love for those things. But growing up and watching how Full Moon, the studio, had evolved, you could see a lot of that interconnectivity between your movies. So reading that was kind of your inspiration and how you almost, you know, became like the Stan Lee pitch man for Full Moon and like home video business was really quite insightful. It was really great.
Thank you. Well, you know, I was friendly with Jack and, you know, he was getting older and he did. I mean, I'm a crazy collector of his art. You know, back during the good old days in the 90s, I had a massive collection of original art. And of course, like everything else in my life, when things got tough, had to sell it all to stay alive and make movies, you know, ups and downs and all the rest of it. And then I became close with Stan. But, you know, I do attribute so much of kind of the spirit of what Full Moon became in the early 90s when we were distributed by Paramount to, you know, growing up with Marvel Comics. And I grew up in Italy, so I was not here looking at TV. I mean, there was very little kind of U.S. entertainment. The comics came over. There was the occasional movie. Otherwise, I was growing up in a foreign country. But as a fan and a young kid beginning to discover Marvel before superheroes, you know, the pre-Marvel stuff, you know, the great Jack Kirby and Steve Ditko stories, Fing Fang Foom, all that stuff. And then suddenly those first few superhero stories dropped, you know, the first Fantastic Four, then Hulk. That was such a magical period. And I was so interested, and again, this is not today, guys, where you can go online and Google and figure shit out. This is like the Stone Age days. So I was so intrigued by the you know, trying to understand how much I like this particular artist, because he was similar to what I thought, you know, it was a Jack Kirby, right? And I was trying to figure this out on my own. And in the earliest issue of one of those Marvel comics, maybe issue 2 or 3 of Fantastic Four or Hulk, at the back of the book where all the ads are selling whatever they were trying to sell, there was something called Stan Lee's Soapbox. So Stan Lee was the guy, and he began to introduce the fans to, hey, Jack Kirby, he just penned Fantastic Four, he's doing the Hulk, and Ditko's going to do another Spider-Man. And then it made sense to me, knowing nothing, that, oh, those are the artists I love, and that's the guy's name, and he does those books. And it was a little microcosm of sort of behind the scenes. So when I started Full Moon in 89, 90, I right away created something called the Video Zone. So if you were into these movies, this is VHS days. This is not DVD where you can punch around and call up scenes. This is like DVD days. So I had to convince Paramount, they distributed my movies, and we made one a month, to allow me another 20 minutes of tape at the end of each movie after the end crawl to have this video magazine. And they didn't like the idea initially. They said, well, how are we going to monetize it? And the extra 20 minutes of tape is going to cost us an extra 30 cents. I said, well, it's going to be cool for the fans. So I did that video magazine on every Full Moon movie in the early 90s. And that's just doing what Stan Lee did back in the 60s.
As a brand, you're branding yourself as, and I think that some people probably thought that you were doing that to like pad out the runtime, but you weren't. You were actually paying more to.
It was for the fans.
Yeah. And that's awesome.
It was the fan. And I run into people because I do all these shows, obviously. And I did a roadshow for a while when the home video business died. I did a tour for, I don't know, 4 years, 200 cities. And so many people came up to me and said, you know, I love the movies, but boy, we love the Video Zone. We didn't know how any of this was done. And you had interviews with the actors and the special effects guys, and you previewed what was coming next. And, you know, this was a thing for the fans. And then it became kind of the norm when DVDs happened. But I started this in, you know, 1990. So,
well, and I think that the kind of movies that you make breed people who are obsessed with film. Because, I mean, you know, you watch a Marvel movie and you don't think, oh, how'd they do that? I want to try to make that, you know. But like you watch a movie like you make, and there's probably ways to figure out how to do that. And that's interesting.
Well, also my movies are low budget. Very organic. You know, I'm not a big CGI guy, so all my effects are either in camera or they're stop motion animation. And that's more accessible and doable for someone who's aspiring to make a low budget movie. But, you know, you look at a $200 million Marvel tentpole movie, it's like, you know, aside from it's complicated and how do they do it, it's also like you can only be beat on the head so long. You know, these movies are endless. I would make a rule, no more than 90 minutes. You know, I don't want to sit there 2 hours into this. And there's the umpteenth fucking explosions and the thing and lasers, and New York gets destroyed for the 600th time. And then you think it's over. And then there's yet another, you know, it's just, it's endless. And that's not what I found fun when I was younger watching, you know, these movies. It's a little bit of effects, but you want to be caring about the characters, you know?
But then movie nerds like Travis are sitting at home and they're thinking, man, I want to dump the baking soda into the volcano. You know what I'm saying, Travis?
that's exactly right.
I've seen a million baking soda volcanoes, but I want to make one.
Well, you can do that. You can do that. But I think that there's something more fun about an organic effect than, to me, CGI can be done really well, but mostly it's a cartoon. And I'm looking kind of like at a video game. So it doesn't. And no matter how good these actors are, I know they're playing to a green screen or a blue screen, and they're sword fighting with a light, and it's just, you know, enough. I'm exhausted with these movies.
Guys, the book is called Confessions of a Puppet Master, a Hollywood memoir of ghouls, guts, and gonzo filmmaking. Charles, should I send people to Amazon? Is that the best place to send people? Or
any bookseller. You go to Barnes & Noble. But, you know, what we did, because and this is a funny admission, here on your show, but after the book was finished, and, you know, we were dealing with the people at HarperCollins who are awesome, I had this idea. I said, is there some way we can just give the book away for free to the fans?
They go, no, oh, I bet they love that.
Not a good idea, Charlie. And they explained why they couldn't do it. So then I came up with a gimmick a few weeks ago. So, and again, it's just another way to give it away and give more away. So what we're doing is, if you go to fullmoondirect.com, which is our store, basically, It's all there. It's real simple. You can buy, you buy the book, not from us. You got to buy it from like Amazon, and you just send us proof of purchase. It's just an email to a website. And then we will give you a 1 year free subscription to our streaming site, which is like a $70 value. 1 year, watch 1,000 movies if you can.
That's awesome.
All of our movies and movies we've acquired. And I figure, well, that's kind of a cool way to give away something for free. I can't give the book away, but I can give away a year of our streaming site.
Oh no. Oh no. I'm going to cut all of this out.
Well, we were wrapping up with him. Cool thing that he's got going on. If you buy his book, he gives you his website for free.
Right. Yeah. To that's figure a, something else out.
That's a man of the people right there.
Do you think that we can, do you think he'll click the link again?
I don't know. Maybe we'll see.
Oh no. Charles, come back.
Well, we need Travis to come back too, for real. Travis, come back.
Guys, all of you people who switched to Zoom during all this shit, all this the Zoom people, you're wrong. Zoom is trash. Well,
Skype ain't great either.
It's awful. Zoom is a garbage program.
I'm sure if we paid like $50 a year, we could get it to not do this, right?
How come nobody was listening to me?
What are you talking about listening to you?
I'm fucking texting you, texting drunk. Mute that thing.
I was so enthralled by what Charles had to say.
I saw it.
You didn't mute it. You saw it, but then didn't do what I said to do. So did you cut him off? Did this thing cut him off?
Yeah, it cut him off. It just ended.
Yeah, we
only you would have kicked me out and the other mic out.
I tried to kick the other mic out, but it killed him anyway.
So you didn't even get to say goodbye?
We were on the precipice.
You dudes disappeared. he just emailed me.
What a shit show.
What an awesome guy, though, for real.
Yeah, that was cool.
Charles is great. He's really great. Does he want to call back in so we can like finish it off?
I just emailed him, Charles, come back.
I'm looking at him, so panicking.
I thought
we had it figured out.
I thought we had it figured out, but we didn't.
Yeah, we should have just killed the whole meeting and started it from scratch, I guess.
We did it wrong.
you dudes disappeared.
So the whole time he's doing that interview, I'm thinking, man, this dude got on the ground floor of everything.
He did.
How much crypto do you think this guy has? He's got to have like Bitcoin on his ass, right?
Well, it's funny because you're talking to or reading his book, you're talking to him, there's a lot of things I want to talk to him about. Because just there were stories in this thing, and I'm not going to spoil the whole thing just in case this actually makes it into the show podcast. He actually had some financiers like firebomb his house with like a Molotov cocktail because he wasn't paying them back quick enough. He had like the dude owned like a castle for a bunch of years. I mean, started a studio in Rome, then started one in Romania years later. The guy just keeps going.
Right. Well, Travis,
did you catch the part where he said he was giving away his website for free?
If you send him proof of purchase that you bought his book, he'll give you like
a year subscription to his website.
Subscription to
whole year. Watch every one of his movies off his website and everything.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's pretty amazing.
$70 value.
Entire year.
Heck yeah.
I wonder if that counts for press copies, Travis.
Here's look, I have it. I have the book.
All right, guys. So I don't think Charles is coming back, but the book, it's
Confessions of a Puppet Master, a Hollywood memoir of ghouls, guts, and gonzo filmmaking by Charles Band.
Well, written by somebody else, but about Charles Band.
Yeah, his name's, he takes the top billing, and then the ghostwriter comes underneath the top.
He shows up with the guy, and he tells him the stories, and the guy writes them down.
He's like a transcriptionist, essentially.
Right.
And also, you can follow Charles Band. I guess you could follow his studio at Full Moon Horror, and then I believe it's the real Charles Band on Twitter.
Travis, we're never using Zoom again.
Hey, if you want this to go correctly, everybody, shoot over onto Patreon/WFOD show.
That's what I said. What is this, a $50 a year kind of thing?
That's what I'm saying. Contribute a couple of shekels, and we'll be able to upgrade to Zoom Pro, and we'll never drop a wonderful guest like Charles Band again.
So that's what the next thing is we'll get Zoom Pro.
We'll get Zoom Pro. We'll be able to have unlimited time with wonderful guests like Charles Band. We won't have to have him get cut off and then email us and say, you dudes disappeared. And then him probably being like, these unprofessional fools, we'll never talk to them again. So contribute, patreon.com.
Travis, I want to tell you a story real quick. About a month ago, there's a guy, he goes by a real online boy. That's his name on Twitter.
Boy,
B-O-I? B-O-Y. And he wrote a treatment for a skit. And the name of the skit is Suck Dogs, Travis. Pepper Goins of the History Buffs podcast.
It's Pepper Goins? Why? Every time I see his name on Twitter, I think it's Pepper Goins.
Goins? Maybe it's Goins. I don't know.
It's probably Goins. That makes more sense.
Now you got me questioning it, Travis. I never said his name before. And so now it's weird to me. Pepper.
Well, now that's why Twitter, I guess, should have like Facebook does, where it like enunciates your name, you know, right next to it. This is how you pronounce
it. So what he did is he brought it to my attention that Suck Dogs was in the world and it was just begging to be made. And so we enlisted help of a lot of people. I want to credit everybody, Travis. So Pepper is in it. The Bad Poets Pod is in it. At Po Boy Pod, Jody, he's in it. And at The Dirkness, he's in it. And what we did is we brought real online boys Suck Dogs to life. It took a lot of effort. I'm very proud of it, Travis.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to share it with you guys on the break, if that's all right.
You worked very hard on this.
And so, guys, without any further ado, guys, thanks to Charles Band. But we gotta play some art here. This is Suck Dogs, and we'll be back.
Sharks?
We hear you have something exciting for us, Ben.
That's right. Dogs. We love them so much. They're our four-legged companions, our furry pals, but they don't do everything we'd like. But what if they could? Imagine a dog that could suck your dick. They're truly about to become man's best friend with Suck Dogs. Hillary, Chelsea, suck. Yes, the hassle of having to find someone other than your dog to suck you off is behind us with Suck Dogs. Suck Dogs are like normal dogs. They love to play catch, snuggle up with you while you watch Netflix, and come for you after a bad day at work. But unlike normal ones, these dogs will fit your whole dick in their mouth, guaranteed.
I don't know about that. I got a pretty huge dick.
You'll want the Suck Dog XL, then. Give it a try. Just say the dog's name and suck. This huge bitch's name is Mommy.
All right, Mommy. Suck. Oh my God. This is the best head I've ever got. Oh, fuck.
I have personally trained 300 suck dogs on my family farm in Maine. The process is simple. I show them how to suck dick by demonstrating on trusted friends and family, then reward them with treats when they imitate the way I suck just right. Then, I knock their teeth out with a hammer, and voila! Houston, we have a suck dog.
Wait, mine still has teeth!
Hey, I want to try! Stop hogging it!
Oh, the dog ripped my huge dick off!
Ooh, sorry, man. Bad dog.
Why is mouth open?
Sorry, he swallowed your dick.
I'm gonna have to wait around until mommy gets to take a shit so I get my dick back.
Sorry, didn't know her teeth slipped through the process. Maybe I knocked out her baby teeth. We're still working out the kinks.
Until you get the manufacturer down, count me out. However, once I fish my prick out this dog's turd, I will be ordering a few suck dogs for me and the family.
So far, this seems to be a very male-focused product.
That's because you didn't let me finish my fucking speech. I don't know who's a bigger bitch, mommy or Barbara. But no, just shut up and listen to me. When me and my dad were using our suck dogs at home, my mom started to get jealous. And we're feminists, so we realized that that wasn't fair. So with my mom's help, I developed suck dogs for her. These dogs will lick your clam till you fucking pee or whatever. All suck dogs for her are male, while the regular ones are women dogs. Suck dogs aren't gay. OJ Simpson, suck!
I'm gonna squirt.
Ew.
I'm sorry, but Hillary, Chelsea, mommy, I have no interest in this. I'm gay.
Well, I know I just said suck dogs aren't gay, and they absolutely aren't, but I might actually have a roundabout way to satisfy your fucked needs, Robert. Suck dogs are also a home defense product trained to tackle and fuck any intruder in the ass.
I'm listening.
All right, here goes nothing. OJ Simpson, fuck his ass.
Hello, sailor.
The dog just killed Robert.
That's right.
But I thought you said you knocked out their teeth with a hammer.
I don't know.
You know what? That's not a bug. It's a feature. That's one hell of a security system. He killed Robert in under 20 seconds. Plus, I love getting my dick sucked until I come. I don't care about Damon's black dick or Robert's gay life. I will personally help you work out the kinks. I'm offering you $30 million for 10% equity in suck dogs.
I will also give you $30 million for $30 million worth of suck dogs to live in my house, that is.
Sweet.
WFOP!
My butt itches back and it's causing me some problem. Hey now, hey now, my butt itches back.
Live.
Online and on your smartphone.
Strangelabel.com.
Temperatures will remain in the single digits, which hardly provides justification to get out of bed or continue to exist on this world plane. Expect clouds and flurries and an utter sense of doom this week, leading into this weekend. That's the weather, now back to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program.
Excited about it. Not a fan.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, though?
Preparation H.
No, tried it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Maybe some sort of powder.
Travis, do you guys have Weekends Only by you?
No, same.
Weekends Only is a St. Louis thing?
Yeah, no Weekends Only.
Okay, so Weekends Only, it's a furniture store, Travis.
Is it only open on the weekends?
It's only open on the weekends. And throughout the week, they have commercials where like a effeminate guy is in the dark and he turns on a light and he goes, "Sorry, it's only Wednesday. We're closed." That's the whole commercial.
That's the owner of the
place. I hate that guy. Fuck that guy. Anyway, when you buy furniture from Weekends Only, they say to you, "Hey, you want to get a warranty? And if anything happens, if you get a stain on it, if your dog bites it, anything, it will come out and fix it." And so, like, I think we've bought 3 couches from fucking Weekends Only, and we've always gotten the warranty, never used it. But this time, we decided, you know what? I'm going to use that fucking warranty.
Is that a lifetime warranty?
No, it's like 4 years or something. So my shithead,
pretty good.
My shithead dog bit a hole in my couch, Travis. And I said, fuck it. We got that warranty. We've got that warranty like 3 or 4 times. Let's fucking call them up.
That's what it's there for.
Right. So I email back and forth with the guy fucking forever. And eventually they send out a guy. And the guy, he, you know, looks at it and he tells them what part they need to do the work. So I get the thing in the mail. And then like another month goes by and they send a guy out to do the work. And the guy takes a look at the goddamn thing they sent in the mail. He goes, "Oh, that's not the right color." I say,
"This sounds like your sliding door all over again."
Well, that finally got done, Travis. Just in time for it to be ass cold, so I can't enjoy my screen door.
Of course.
So he said it ain't the right color. So he said, "Oh, I'll put in a report, and they'll let you know." Well, the guy called, Travis, and he said, "Well, I mean, in the time since you bought the couch, they changed the couch a little bit. And so, like, they don't make that anymore. So we can't help you."
That's not your problem.
That's what I said, Travis. I said, "Well, then fucking give me the money back for my my warranty. You know, like, I have the warranty so that I can fix shit. If you can't fix the shit, then it's a shitty warranty. Give me my money back." But what I think what I'm going to end up doing, Travis, is I'm just going to have them put the off-color thing on it. Because fuck
yeah,
them.
Yeah, just patch that shit up.
Yeah, cares? I'll just say, you know what? I'll dim the lights in here. Nobody will ever know.
And you're telling me that just because they stopped producing that couch, they incinerated all of the parts for the couch that existed previous to that?
Make me one, you motherfuckers.
Right, like, why wouldn't they just we stopped making that model. So even though we probably just sold some a few weeks ago, let's destroy all of the replacement parts for this couch.
Or stitch it up or do something. Don't just say, "Oh, yeah, sorry."
Yeah, cut a piece of old jeans out or something and patch the hole.
You know, the furniture industry is kind of
shady.
Crooked?
Shady?
Dirty?
No.
Scumbags?
No.
Bunch of fucking scumbags in that industry.
It's one of those industries that is hurting for raw materials. Basically, everything furniture wise comes made from China. So those are sitting in ships in the Pacific Ocean right now. I don't know if you know this or not. If you wanted to buy one of those like old school hide beds, if you bought it today, it's going to be...
You're talking about the one that's in the wall?
No, like in your couch.
You do that and then it comes
out?
No,
like the hide bed in the couch.
Not a Murphy bed. That's a wall. That's Murphy bed is the one that comes out of the wall.
Yeah, so the one that comes out of that couch, if you bought one today, it takes 2 years. It'll take you 2 years to get it.
Travis, do you call a fold-out couch a hide bed?
No, I call it a pull-out couch.
Yeah.
Sure,
a hide-a-bed. That's like in the movies when it's in the wall.
if this thing is on a shipping container, the Weekends only needs to send an employee out into the China Sea to open up that goddamn shipping container, get that piece for Mike's couch, and
fucking warranty, Travis.
Yeah.
Does a warranty not mean anything anymore?
By the way, I'll have a different solution for you off the air.
The problem, Drunk, is that like they're never going to get to those shipping containers only working on weekends.
Well, what Weekends Only doesn't only work on the weekends, by the way. I'm sure they were here during the week, weren't they?
Oh, yeah, the guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is here on Monday.
Yeah. So, like, they still work all week. Their store's not open.
Yeah, a fucking hippie dude. And he goes, man, that ain't the right color. And like we kind of looked at
Oh shit, bro, I ain't got this. We can't fix this today.
Travis, I think what it is.
Ironically, they don't deliver on the weekend.
Because my wife, she works from home. And like me and him were both looking at it and like we couldn't tell. We were going back and forth on whether or not it was the right color or not because it's pretty close.
What is it like the difference between fucking charcoal and fucking black or something?
Yeah. Like you can't really tell. I think what we decided, we called Laura to come upstairs and look at it, and she goes, well, I don't know, and then went back downstairs. But it's
that
a
just
different.
Tells me she doesn't give a fuck, just put it on there.
It's a different
sheen. So I don't know, she's like, just do it.
Yeah, it's a different sheen is what it is, Travis.
Oh, I don't know, man. Like the difference between matte and gloss.
Right, yeah.
This looks like beige, this ain't cream.
Or, you know, eggshell and fucking sateen.
But now I got to wait a couple more fucking months, I'm sure. Like, when they finally quit dicking around.
Call the specific guy back.
Well, that just teaches you a lesson. Next time you got to go to Carol House because they like nice things.
Yeah. That's a local reference that nobody's going to get. Travis, did you see the super condescending Terry Crews Amazon ad?
Oh, yeah. The one where he can't believe that the employees put things in boxes.
I got a couple clips, Travis. I love this Terry Crews ad.
So Amazon does pay for tuition?
Yep.
So what do you think my major should be?
So Terry Crews, he's gonna work at Amazon, Travis, so that he can get college tuition because he wants to go back to school. Terry Crews.
Oh, Terry Crews can't fund his schooling, so he's got to go work at Amazon, so they pay for it.
What do I got? I got.
Hi, Terry. Wait. I get to drive a forklift?
Travis, do you...
I get to drive a forklift?
It's not that exciting, by the way.
It's really not.
For all you out there who never have driven a forklift.
I've never driven a forklift, but you know what? I think if I did, I would probably be like a little bit intimidated by it and be like, oh, I hope I don't run into anything and get fired.
You guys got headsets that tell you what to put in the boxes?
It's fine until you got like 2 hours later, then you're like, damn, my ass hurts, my legs hurt. I'd rather be walking around doing something else.
Benefits, tuition, and flexible hours. They're hiring everywhere, so check it out for yourself.
Hey, did your business get closed in the last year and you're desperate to make ends meet? You might get to drive a forklift. Yay!
Maybe. One in probably 30 of their employees gets to drive a forklift, by the way.
Travis.
Amazon, it's better than being homeless?
You see the Perfect. South Park episode of the Amazon?
The machine start killing people?
Fucking, they've had like YouTube clips of Amazon people watching. They're like, yep, that is exactly what it's like working there. They fucking nailed it.
Travis, did you see, I'm sure you did, the video of the gal peeing on the guy?
Yeah, I did.
Sophia from Brass Against, which I think is just a cover band that has trumpets in it.
Oh, is it like a cover band? It's like a Rise Against cover band?
No, they do like Tool and...
Well, I think she was doing a Rage Against the Machine song when she peed on
Tool
the guy.
And Rage kind of song, except big brass style.
Oh, okay. It's like Richard Cheese do like when he does the lounge versions of everything.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Travis, that video, it's kind of erotic, right? Did it work for you or were you grossed out by it?
No, I'm not a fan of piss. So, I mean,
well,
I guess
I don't think I'm a fan of piss either, Travis, but I watched the video and I was like,
Wow, that gal, she just went for it, right?
I didn't catch the whole thing. So how did somebody just like flop on the stage like a dead
no,
fish?
No, she said.
So she pissed on him?
She said, who wants a golden shower? Dude said, yeah, got on stage. She lays him flat, pisses on him, and then freaks out and is like, get him out of here.
The real story here is that this broad needed to piss, and she worked it into the concert. So that is genius, because if you remember a bunch of years back, there was Fergie made the rounds because she during a Black Eyed Peas concert because she just full-blown pissed her pants during a performance.
Right.
So this gal had to pee, couldn't leave stage, so she made it a part of the concert experience, which I think is just absolutely genius.
Life handed her lemons, and she made lemonade, Travis.
That's right.
The
fudge wasn't being made around the corner. Otherwise, that could have been a whole other thing.
Wow. Yeah, you don't want to do that.
I think if your kink is getting pissed on, you don't mind getting shit on either.
I feel like those are two distinct kinks, piss and shit.
I don't necessarily think maybe he just like wanted to be part of it.
Until he got pissed on, then he's like, oh, I didn't realize she was serious.
Maybe. Like, do you think that maybe like he thought it was just a dare? Like he
probably thought it was like theatrics.
She's not really going to do
it. It's just for goofs.
Right. She's going to like dump her water bottle on his face or something. But no, she dropped trow and let the stream go. And is the amount of piss that she pissed on that guy.
It's a lot of piss.
She was holding that in for a long time.
Oh, my God. I haven't seen the video yet. But
you haven't seen it, Drunk?
No, I only heard about it.
Oh, you should watch it. It's
you got to watch
it. It's really something.
Like, must see TV.
Yeah.
See, for me, Travis, I didn't know what it was.
See, I'm not
like I just clicked on I think the tweet was something like, "Hey man, Rockfest is a really a party," and then I clicked on it, and then that happened. I was like, "Whoa!"
Yeah, it's not really my.
I mean, like once a few people send it out, then you know it's not subtle anymore. Then it's video.
Do you feel like this is going to be a trend now? Because remember. Just a couple of weeks ago in the aftermath of the Astroworld tragedy, there was viral videos of all of these other artists saying, hey, look to your left, look to your right. We're a family here. Let's make sure nobody gets hurt. Do you feel like other artists are going to capitalize on this and also start pissing on their concert goers?
I kind of hope so. I mean, say what you will, Travis, but I mean, like you go and you see that's a fucking show.
That's a show.
You know what I'm saying?
You come home. Most people who saw the Brass Against or whatever this band is called would go home and be like, yeah, I saw them. You know, they did their brass cover versions of the songs. You know, just what you would expect. But these people went home.
2021. See, I expected that in 2000 at a Warped Tour. Not.
Well, we're bringing it back. Early 2000s
right here. So
I thought I was going to sneeze, and so I muted my microphone, but then I muted Drunk's microphone too, and then I didn't sneeze.
I think you need a sneeze button.
Yeah. Hey, Travis, have you ever heard the term yuck somebody's yum? I saw that on Twitter the other day. I actually Dodger Jess 83. She said that she didn't want to yuck somebody's yum. You know, that's like tell somebody like something that they like is stupid. Yuck somebody's yum. I thought it was a good phrase. That we should champion it. Can we try to use yuck somebody's yum sometimes? Because I like it.
It's like the updated version of like harshing my buzz or harshing the mellow.
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily like fit into anything. I liked it, and I want it to like be in our vernacular.
Well, put it in a post-it note vernacular. And attach it to the soundboard there.
Yuck somebody's yum. Drunk, you got a pick of the week, bud? You want to come back to you?
Sure.
Travis, pick of the week, bud? Something you want the people to know about?
Travis's pick of the week this week is something we already covered in the first half of the show. It would be Confessions of the Puppet Master, a Hollywood memoir of ghouls, guts, and gonzo filmmaking by Charles Band. There is some amazing stories in there. If you're even semi-interested in the film industry, and if you're semi-interested in the horror genre, sci-fi genre.
Dated Demi Moore.
He dated Demi Moore for a short period of time after he gave her her first role, actually. And there's actually a couple of really cool, quick little ties to things like the Room. There's a fun James Franco puppet master connection. There's a lot of very interesting little tidbits in there. Not to mention the rest of Charles's life where, come on, the guy owned a castle for years. So just that in and of itself should lead you to believe that there are plenty of stories in this book. And there are. It's a wonderful read.
Fun fact about Charles Band. His son is the singer for the band The Calling.
Oh, that guy?
Adrian!
Should have left you long before.
You remember that one? No.
Okay.
Travis, pick of the week. There is a movie on Apple TV Plus starring Tom Hanks. It's called Finch.
Is it about a bird?
It is fucking great, Travis.
Finch, is it? I was wondering.
It's so good. It's only Tom Hanks playing opposite a dog and a robot. It's so fucking good.
It's like Castaway, but with a robot instead of a volleyball.
Yeah, I mean, the robot talks.
Or, you know, Turner and Hooch.
So he's talking to the robot the whole time. Travis, it's so good. It got me misty twice, Travis.
Oh,
this goddamn... Tom Hanks,
bro.
Post-apocalyptic robot movie. Got me misty twice, Travis. It should have been on a big screen because it was great. So, guys, get Apple TV. You watch Finch. It's great. Drunk pick of the week.
You know, Apple TV is not a wonderful streaming service, but they do have enough to keep you subscribed.
That other Apple Tom Hanks movie was good too. The one that he was on the boat.
Was it
like Battleship Man?
Did you watch the Will Ferrell Paul Rudd Mr. one yet? Phillips. Is that any good?
Watch the first episode. It's interesting. It's not funny.
Didn't think it didn't look funny.
Yeah, I think it's a dramedy, Travis. It has comedic elements, but I don't think it's intended to be a slapstick humor vehicle.
Yeah, that Apple TV, like I said, like they got me with Ted Lasso. They keep me with the randomly released movie that's pretty good.
Yeah, there's not a lot on it, but what is on it is usually pretty okay. Drunk pick of the week.
So, sure, drunk's pick of the week. This isn't necessarily a pick of the week. It's more, I'll be on my soapbox for just a second here. Since it's 2021 and it's cancel culture year.
Don't get me started.
Don't pee on people.
Let's cancel the Thanksgiving turkey. Let's be real. It's the worst part of the meal.
No, it's not. I like
nonsense.
Turkey. No, you're love crazy. Turkey. Turkey is the worst part.
You put gravy on it?
Drown that shit. Oh, you drown it in gravy.
Oh, yeah.
We had to come up with a new meat for...
Like what? Ham? Fuck ham.
No, like brisket or ribs.
Brisket's a Christmas thing.
What?
A Christmas brisket?
I've never heard of that.
Never heard of that.
Christmas brisket or a Christmas prime rib. That's it. Turkey. Keep turkey in Thanksgiving.
Huh.
We'll do a poll on Twitter after this episode drops.
Should we get rid of turkey?
Or what's the worst part of the Thanksgiving meal? And you give them like four options.
Cranberries.
Mm. Ugh. I like the cranberries.
Yeah, fuck cranberries.
Sick.
See, what I like is I like me some mashed potatoes, Travis.
Baby.
I like stuffing.
Stuffing's the best part.
A little green bean casserole.
I'll fucks with some green bean casserole. I mean, it's not my favorite, but it, if you put some on my plate.
I gotta have that top layer of those French fried onions, baby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's some good shit. Maybe like a little salad with some...
Salad?
Hard-boiled salad. Eggs thrown in it.
You know, hard-boiled eggs. Yeah,
but the deviled eggs.
Oh, deviled eggs, yeah.
Oh, deviled eggs!
You know what, Travis? It's Hand Turkey Month. It's the month that we celebrate every year where we ask that people send us...
The hand turkey?
Their traced hand.
And then we ended up getting Jody's dick every year.
No. Hey, you send us a hand turkey... We'll pick the best one, and you can win this promo copy of Charles Band's biography.
Confessions of a Puppet Master, a Hollywood memoir of ghouls, guts, and gonzo filmmaking. It's in bookstores now, guys. Or you could send us a fucking hand turkey, and we'll choose the best one and send you a goddamn book. So, guys, we did it!
Gotta get some of these books out of my fucking house, buddy.
I keep sending Travis all the books drunk, and his prize closet. His prize closet
it's getting
is
bigger and bigger, huh?
It's getting out of control.
So I'm Bill Dick.
I want your pee.
You know what I feel like? Pooping?
Yo, I don't know that motherfucker!
Turn around and adios.
Thank you for listening to this installment of WFOD. If you enjoyed it, subscribe, share it friend. With a hey, consider supporting the show on Patreon at patreon.com/WFODix. Follow us at twitch.tv/WFODshow or youtube.com/user/WFODix. Should figure out a way to make that better. Leave us a voicemail at 636-487-4263 or email travis@wfodix.com with comments, questions, guest suggestions, or whatever. Thanks to our Patreon sponsors, Amanda, Val, Brian, and Liquid. Also, a special thank you to Carl Casey at White Bat Audio for the music we used this week. Visit WFOD Show for more. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Mike, you'll email Charlie and apologize.
Tell him that we're sorry.
Yeah, please.
Schmoes.
I will.
Amateur hour. I don't know what the fuck we're doing.
We're on the free version of Zoom, like a bunch of chumps.
Yeah.
Sorry, Charles. We're on the free version of Zoom.
Sorry, Charles. We're on Zoom and it had a time limit. And would have liked to talk to you for much longer. Maybe we can do it again sometime.
How am I going to edit that to not look like shit, Travis. There's no ending.
I say just don't.
What do I do?
Where did it cut off with him explaining?
Yeah, he was in the middle of explaining something.
So you figure out a way that it sounds natural to cut it off, and then just like
maybe I'll sound like a prick and just interrupt him. And
we'll just cut it off in the middle of him explaining where it makes sense, and then repeat what he was going to say,
and then
just say thank you,
drunk. Charles, I need a recording of you going hang up on his ass, so that I can add that in.
All right, less than a minute, but please email him and apologize.
I will
make
for
me
sure.
feel better. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Hang up on his ass.